back in on the drive. Congratulations on getting through 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is the drive. We got a very busy week planned. I've been thinking of this week like one long show. Like, I know it's, you know, broken up in the days, but it's one long show. It's one long show getting you ready for the biggest game in Kansas City since Game 7 of the World Series. The Chiefs and Patriots playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest.
Will you say that again real quick?
The Chiefs are playing the Patriots for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
How good is that, man?
Sunday.
Nick the Quick's got his Pat Mahomes headband going right now, his Sunday Funday shirt on.
We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest coming up at 5:30. We're going to do something really cool every day this week in the 5 o'clock hour. I will not play it right now because then everyone will call and assume that's the time to call. After the hits, we will play the Tomahawk Chop song. When you hear the Tomahawk Chop song, call up Nick the Quick Price. Be caller number 6, and we will give you a Travis Kelce bobblehead doll. We will give away a bobblehead doll every day this week, Thursday and Friday. It is a very special one. It is a Patrick Mahomes one. So tomorrow we'll tell you what the bobblehead doll is to give away. Nick, let's get to it. The top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The Hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Well, The Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli. A mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city is open in the Crossroads. The official deli of 610 Sports Radio. So, guys, it was a dominant performance from the Chiefs on Saturday on their way to a 31-13 win and an AFC Championship appearance. Just got one question. What was the biggest thing you guys took away from Saturday's game?
I don't know how you couldn't take away that the defense absolutely dominated tempo and pace of the game. I can't remember a game, maybe aside from the Patriots game last season, week one in Foxborough, where the Chiefs were the more physical bunch and dictated the tempo of the game. I think you could tell in those first couple possessions that this was not the same Chiefs defense we saw week six, week seven of the NFL season. They were flying around, making plays. They were fast. They were physical. The Chiefs defense deserves a lot of credit for how they came out and played this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, to me, two things, defense and running game. I mean, the Chiefs were running for about, what, $1.15 a game in the regular season. They ran for $1.80 yesterday. And I said going into this game, if the defense could just give us four stops, if they could give us four stops over the course of the game, the Chiefs were going to win this football game. And they got four stops right out of the gate. Three and out, four straight times. So, yeah, the defense to me was phenomenal. And Bob Sutton and the defense did a heck of a job. And that's the biggest reason why the Chiefs won the game.
Two.
Well, Kansas City, you got what you asked for. The New England Patriots are coming to town next Sunday as Arrowhead Stadium will host its first ever AFC Championship game. We'll get into it a lot more this week. But could you guys ask for a better storyline than the Chiefs having to go through Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to make it to the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, this is shaping up on paper to be one of the best championship weekends that we've ever had in the NFL. If you think about it, I think there were like five truly great games in the NFL regular season. We're getting a rematch of two of them. The best game in the AFC, not close, was Chiefs and Patriots. I think every single Chiefs fan was thinking to themselves, I sure love to see that game if we're the home team. Well, guess what? You get to be the home team in this matchup, and Saints and Rams was a really entertaining matchup, given the back and forth between Michael Thomas and Marcus Peters, given the back and forth between Marcus Peters and Sean Payton. This is going to be a great upcoming championship weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it is a perfect setup, Nick. You're right, because you got to knock off the Colts in the playoffs in Kansas City. There's one down, right? Haunted us for 25 years, something like that. And now you got a chance to do it to the Patriots, a team that's owned the AFC that knocked you out of the playoffs. It's perfect setup. I mean, this is exactly the way I would want it, truthfully. I wanted the Colts, even though I was scared to death of them, for sure. I wanted the Colts. We got them. We beat them. I want the Patriots in Kansas City to end those guys, too. We've got the young gun in Mahomes. They've got the best quarterback in the history of the game. Perfect way.
This feels a lot like, and I feel very awkward making this comparison, but you guys will make sense of it. It feels a lot like the Pistons and the Bulls in the early 90s. That you knew at some point.
Yeah, Jordan was, they were going to get
it. Yeah, my dad texted me that the other day.
Like,
yeah.
You knew at some point that the Pistons could not hold off Michael Jordan for forever. Maybe you could for a season. Like, maybe the Patriots win on Sunday. I don't know. Maybe the Patriots win on Sunday. But you know you are not going to hold this Chiefs offense and Patrick Mahomes back for the next 10 years. Like, I just don't know how you get that feeling. Maybe it happens this week, and then the conversation's going to be that Brady at 41 has handed the trophy to the 23-year-old young pup. But at some point, the Chiefs are going to break through the New England Patriots. I think it's very obvious to see that that run is coming to its end.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think sooner or later the Chiefs are breaking through. I don't know if it's going to be Sunday or not. I mean, I think there's a really good chance that they do. But yeah, there's no way. I mean, we got a 23-year-old quarterback, and they got a 41-year-old quarterback. You know, the old really good quarterbacks in the AFC, they're going to be gone. You know, and it's going to be up to guys like Mahomes. You can't hold this Chiefs. It's a really good way to put it. Because I remember seeing the Bad Boys Pistons, and they got Michael and they got the Bulls for a while, but eventually they didn't. I hope it starts earlier rather than later. I hope the Chiefs get them on Sunday. I think there's a legitimate chance that they do.
And that concludes the hits for today. We need caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. Every day this week at 5 o'clock after the hits, we will give you a chance to win a Chiefs bobblehead. Today's bobblehead is Travis Kelce. We need caller number 6, 913-576-7610. Call in right now, and you can win a bobblehead doll from our guy, Nick the Quick Price. So, I want to talk a lot more Patriots tomorrow. We can get into the Colts game, and tomorrow it's just going to be full steam ahead for the AFC Championship, but I do think let's spend the time to talk about the game against the Indianapolis Colts. If I had told you guys on Friday, so let's say that I had some vision, and I could tell you exactly how the game was going to go, and I could bring back message to you, Chiefs fan. If I told you that Patrick Mahomes would not throw a touchdown on Sunday or on Saturday's game, if I told you the Chiefs would give up a punt block for a touchdown, they would give up a special teams touchdown, You probably tell me the Chiefs don't win that game. I don't tell you anything else about the game. I just tell you Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw one single touchdown, and the Colts find a way to block a punt for a touchdown that swings momentum a little bit. I think the general consensus is Chiefs lose that game.
Yeah.
But
based on what we saw the regular season, absolutely.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a New Year's resolution. I don't know if it was new year, new defense. I have absolutely no clue what happened. Because, like many of you, I was very skeptical about this Chiefs defense. They didn't give me reason not to be skeptical about their defense. They were dominant on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think you could argue that their defense was more dominating than their offense, and their offense got off to an amazing start. Like, the Chiefs, their first two possessions looked like the Chiefs from October. Chiefs from September. I mean, bat, bat, bat down the field.
Yeah, they look great.
Screenplay here, end around here. The Chiefs' offense was incredible to start the game. I don't know how many of you, and if you did, you won a lot of money in Vegas, would have predicted this team would start the game with three straight three and outs. The Colts, in their first 9 plays, had 12 yards. The Chiefs came out. They were more physical than the Colts, and I think there was one play more than any play that directly shows you what happened in this game. I think it was second down. I could be wrong. Chris Jones pushes Quentin Nelson back almost directly into the backfield where he's standing next to Andrew Luck damn near. Chris Jones gets his hand up and bats the ball down. The crowd fed off that play. The rest of the team fed off on the play that I felt coming into this game that the Colts were a little bit finesse. That the Colts were, let's get up early. We can then run the ball a little bit. I thought they were doing that. And Quentin Nelson, you remember, he made that play early in the season where he then ran that guy over and yelled, we were hyping Quentin Nelson up like he was Willie Rofe. Like he was Will Shields. Like Quentin Nelson was getting all the pub, all the talk. And I remember saying, I don't know why. I can't really think of a week we spent this much time talking about a team's offensive line.
Yeah.
Like they were the 95 Cowboys or something. The Chiefs clearly heard it. That Chiefs pass rush clearly heard the praise that was heaped on the Indianapolis Colts offensive line. And I thought they came out with the mindset of, it's cold, we're at home, we're going to punch this offense in the mouth. I don't think Andrew Luck answered the bell really well. I don't think T.Y. Hilton answered the bell really well. I don't think Marlon Mack answered the call really well. I thought the Chiefs' defense way more than their offense, and the offense was good enough. I thought their defense came out there with the mindset of, we can punch the Indianapolis Colts in the mouth, and I can't think of a time they've done that this season to a team defensively.
No, not. I mean, we've seen some three and outs right out of the gate, you know, first possession, but we haven't seen that. And I'll give you a play that was, I mean, the first defensive play of the game for the Chiefs. When D Ford came around the edge and got Marlon Mack for a loss of 3 right out of the gate, because you knew exactly what the Colts were going to try to do. They were going to try to dominate time of possession, and they were going to try to run the football just like they did against the Texans the week before. Well, it turns out that the Chiefs dominated time of possession, doubled up. I mean, the Colts had a 20 minutes and 11 seconds or whatever it was, and the Chiefs had a 39-something. So they dominated time of possession. Right out of the gate, they were aggressive defensively, and Dee Ford made a huge play for a tackle for a loss in the first play of the game. I'm with you on the Jones play. Those are big, too. It seemed like they were in Andrew Luck's face the entire game. But right out of the gate, a tackle for the loss, showing those guys that, hey, if you're going to try to run the football on it, it's going to be really tough. We're going to run around the edge. We're going to get you. We're going to try to block it up the middle. We're going to try to stuff everything. I don't remember the Chiefs defense doing this either. You know, and maybe it's the Moose effect that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Slate's clean, man. You get into the playoffs, none of the other stats matter. Doesn't matter what happened in week 4, week 5, week 9, week 12, whatever. The slate's completely clean because the Chiefs defense went out there and played like a defense that I hadn't seen all year.
No, they certainly didn't do that. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, and maybe this is a little bit of a hot take. I came away with that game not really impressed about Andrew Luck and the Colts. But I kind of think that team benefited from how many games they play indoors. And it is one thing to do all those things in Houston that is, you know, weather protected. Like, they can either raise the roof, they can do that, but Houston, just a warm climate.
Mm-hmm.
I came in thinking of this that, man, that stuff wasn't going to work in Kansas City. And Andrew Luck, the injuries that have taken a toll and effect on his body, he just wasn't that impressive to me. Like, I don't want to just look at the one game and then take away all what he's done so far this season. I'm not at all trying to take away from what the Chiefs did defensively. I just came away thinking this. That all season, I think we have seen there has been a little bit of a gap between the Chiefs and the other teams in the AFC, even New England this year. Mm-hmm. I think if we're taking their total body of work, what the Chiefs have done this regular season, what the Chargers have done this season, what the Patriots have done, this team has clearly been better than all of them. I was more looking at the young quarterbacks in the NFL in that next group. Brady's on his way out. Roethlisberger is on his way out. Peyton Manning's already out. The old Breeze is on his way out. The old quarterbacks. I'm talking about the guys that they try to put in the same category of Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Wilsons, the Andrew Lucks, the Baker Mayfields, the you take your pick of these young quarterbacks. Man, there appeared to be a pretty seismic gap between Patrick Mahomes, who was playing in his first playoff game in the Colts, same elements as Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck, the same quarterback who will probably finish 1-2 in the MVP, the same quarterback that you remember, he was the Andrew Luck 5 years ago. He was the can't-miss prospect, best quarterback prospect since Elway.
I mean, they were saying he was having the best year of his career this year.
There appeared to be a pretty decent-sized gap to me between Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck that if you are a Chiefs fan and looking at that Colts team, I think there's only 4 teams in the AFC that feel like they have their quarterback. The Colts feel like they have their quarterback. Houston feels like they have their quarterback. Cleveland has their quarterback. If that's it, if it's you and all those franchises, man, this team can be set up for the next 8 to 10 years to play in this same game 5 times, 6 games. That I'm not going to say they're going to have Patriots-level dominance. I don't think any team in the NFL. But I would say the exact same way that Peyton Manning dominated this league aside from Brady, why can't the Chiefs do that exact same thing? You've got the second-best coach in the AFC behind Belichick. You've got the best quarterback in the AFC, now better than Brady, in my opinion. You go up against Andrew Luck, who everybody tells me is so great. He didn't look that great to me. And this Chiefs team can be set up for dominance for the next half decade.
I will say this for the Colts, and I'm not bagging on the Chiefs when I say this, okay? This is not last week fanning where I was scared of the Colts, and I think legitimately so in some cases. But I don't think this Colts team was really the same Colts team that made that crazy run towards the end of the year. I mean, after the game, T.Y. Hilton had a high ankle sprain and another ankle sprain, so he wasn't the same, right? He wasn't the same guy. We agree with that. And the other part of that, too, and this has to do with their defense. I mean, Mike Mitchell, one of their starting safeties, was placed on IR with a calf injury, and Malik Hooker was inactive. So, I mean, imagine if the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill in that shape and they lost both of their safeties. They lost Dan Sorensen and Jordan Lucas, and you had to run Ron Parker and somebody else out there. Then I want to put that out there. I'm not saying the Chiefs didn't have a great game because they did. Their defense was phenomenal, especially in the first half. Their offense looked great. But that Colts team was pretty banged up. And we know how injuries can affect a team. I'm not saying even if those guys were completely healthy with the way that Chiefs defense played, that the Colts would have won that game. That's not what I'm saying at all. But let's also just call it what it is. I mean, those guys were a little bit more banged up than the Chiefs were coming into this game. Because Sammy Watkins looked phenomenal. You know, you and I both thought it was going to be kind of a Jeremy Maclin type game for him when Maclin came back against the Patriots and wasn't much of a factor. And so the Chiefs were a lot less banged up than the Colts were. They were banged up at some key positions, and that played a factor in it too. But as far as the quarterback and the coach and setup in the AFC, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have the best setup of any team in the AFC. You can make that argument, but they have the best setup in the NFL right now when it comes to coaching quarterback.
No, absolutely. And I was thinking this about the Colts, kind of along with what you're saying, is it was very refreshing to me to see the Colts shoot themselves in the foot in the playoffs. As somebody that's grown up in Kansas City and watched all these games, and I was at the Andrew Luck wild card game. I was at the no punt game. I remember vividly watching the Lynn Elliott game with my father as a child. The Chiefs have typically been the team in the playoffs to do the critical mistake to shoot themselves in the foot. Whether it's holding on a Tony Gonzalez, whether it's the Priest Holmes fumble, whether it's the I don't want to go through all the playoff disappointments for the Chiefs.
Sure.
That's not what today is. But you guys know what I'm talking about. The Chiefs have typically been the organization, the team, the franchise that have found a way to lose playoff games and not win them. I'm not saying that Kansas City didn't go out and take that victory from the Colts.
Because I think they did.
But yeah. It was refreshing to see them have the field goal kicking problem with their kicker, Adam Vinatieri. It was refreshing to see them making these stupid holding penalties on third down. Or
jumping.
Or they get offsides on third and seven, makes it third and two, Chiefs convert. Like the Colts did not play disciplined football. They didn't. They played like a team that had gotten by on beating lesser teams, went on the road to play a team that was clearly better than them, and were kind of shell-shocked at the Chiefs' defense and overall team speed. The Chiefs came out there, first 15 scripted plays, and I'm talking about bat, bat, bat.
Yeah.
And I remember playing the audio for you about Indianapolis Sports Talk. I was saying, we haven't seen anything like this. The Colts played like a team that had seen nothing like the Kansas City Chiefs this year.
Mm-hmm.
They played like a team that had not seen anything close to the team speed that the Chiefs have shown all season.
And the other thing that I liked about this game too, Cedar, I thought Andy was really aggressive, specifically on fourth down. You know, like he went for it. I think he's finally getting to the point where I've got an MVP quarterback. We're not going to just sit here and sit on the lead and run the football, because they took a couple of shots downfield in the second half when this game was not in doubt. You know, let's keep the foot on the gas and keep going. I love the aggressiveness on fourth down that Andy showed, specifically in the first half. And then he tried to go deep. He tried to throw the football in the second half when this game was clearly over. The other thing we haven't talked about, we've touched on a little bit, but it's worth doing it again in the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, the Colts were 0 for third down, man. 0 for third down. 0 for 9 for the game, and this was the best third down conversion team in the NFL. So this defense went out there and played lights out. I mean, they were terrific. I mean, the Chiefs basically did to the Colts what the Colts wanted to do to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs ran 78 plays. The Colts ran 53. The Chiefs had the football for almost 40 minutes. That's exactly what the Colts wanted to do to the Chiefs. The Chiefs won this on great defense, a running game that racked up 180 yards, and they controlled everything. The Chiefs went out there and absolutely won this game. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot. They didn't. They counterpunched, which is a great way. I heard Dan and Hughes describe it on Chiefs Rewind last night. They were able to counterpunch when something bad happened to them. Get a punt block for a touchdown. Chiefs put together a long drive and score. You know, Sammy Watkins fumbles because they made a really good, I think it was Darius Leonard, made a really good play on him. And then the next play, the Chiefs defense comes out, gets a strip sack, and gets the football back. They did everything right for the most part of that game.
I will say this, that the one thing I've learned and maybe adjust my opinion on over the couple of years of the NFL is the playoffs, they're a B grade at quarterback. Absolutely. You want to be great at quarterback. It's be elite at something. That really matters. Be elite at something. I don't know if we've given the Chiefs enough credit, and I will put myself in this category of being elite at more things than just quarterback. Because they certainly are elite at quarterback. You can argue they have the best quarterback play in the NFL. They probably do have the best quarterback play in the NFL. And that's certainly a bonus when it comes to the postseason. Going into this game and talking about the Chiefs going into this game against the New England Patriots, they are elite at maybe three of the best things you can be in the NFL. They're elite at quarterback. We have talked at nauseam about how great Patrick Mahomes is. They're elite at coach. That I thought that showed in this game. Who would you rather have, Andy Reid or Frank Wright? Frank Wright's great coach, might win coach of the year.
Yeah.
I think you saw in this that Andy Reid, his ability to develop a scheme, his ability to get his team prepared, just was much better than the Indianapolis Colts. And they're elite at pass rush. That the pass rush neutralized, in my opinion, the only advantage that the Colts had. All year, or all week, we were talking about the Colts offensive line, how they were the strength of this team. Man, it's really hard to be the strength of this team if you cannot run the football. Marlon Mack had less than 50 yards rushing.
And left injured, too. I mean, he didn't even finish the game.
He had 9 carries for 46 yards in this. A guy you were really worried about. I'm not even poking fun. A guy you were really worried about was a non-factor in the game. It's not like Marlon Mack got 16 carries and the Colts were able to control tempo. The Chiefs' offense was the Chiefs' offense. They set the tempo. They scored early in this game. That then created obvious passing situations. And then you let not just a good pass rush, not a great pass rush, the best pass rush in the NFL. They were able to send Chris Jones at Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to send D Ford at Andrew Luck. They were able to send Justin Houston. And all of their big-time pass rushers made big-time plays in this game that when the offense hit a little bit of a lull in the late in that game, second half of the game, yeah. a little bit of a lull, every one of their dominant pass rushers made a noticeable impact on the game. Then it goes without saying, if you let this offense pounce on you early where they mm-hmm. get a 10-0 lead, where Bob Sutton has to go tell D Ford, go hunt. Mm-hmm. You go tell Chris Jones, go hunt. You have no chance against that pass rush. The Colts had absolutely no chance with Quentin Nelson, who's a rookie, Braden Smith, who's a rookie. They had no chance against that veteran, elite-level pass rush in that game.
And I think Joe Mays made a really good point when he was in earlier, too. He talks about, you know, the addition of Charvarius Ward back there. Just give me one more second and a half or whatever to cover those guys a little bit more. Gives that much more of an opportunity for Jones and Bailey and Xavier Williams and Joe and Justin Houston and D Ford to get to the quarterback. And again, the Chiefs knew what they had to do coming into this game, and they absolutely executed it. I told you guys last week when I went back through the Colts' losses, they get beat when they're chasing, man. All their losses, they were chasing. And the Chiefs put them on their heels right out of the gate. 3-and-out, 7-0. 3-and-out, 14-0. Colts didn't have a chance to do what they wanted to do. They didn't. And that was the difference in the game. I mean, this game was essentially over in the first half. They went in there and they knocked them out. And that's if again, I'll keep saying this. If that's the defense that we see on Sunday at Arrowhead, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. That's how good that defense was. Because we know the offense is going to be good. We know you're getting high 20s, low 30s, potentially 40, you know, from this offense every single game. And to go out and do what they did to the Colts was phenomenal.
Someone on the text line, the Protein House Eat with the text line, texted this in earlier today. So what? This offense played one good game against a very average offense, and all of a sudden you guys want to consider them the Ray Lewis Baltimore Ravens. This is still by far the league's worst defense. Don't get blinded by this one anomaly. Enjoy the win, Chiefs fans. The defense looked great, but don't get blinded and forget the defense that we saw for the other 16 games. This is maybe the takeaway and hope that I think you should have and the hope that I'm going to approach this week. I'm not saying that all of a sudden we should completely men in black flashy thing what we've seen from the defense over the first 17 weeks. I don't think that's the case. But I at least question if the defense was capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if they were capable against either. A good team. I didn't see that from the defense.
Because remember, we talked about this last week. The last good quarterback they beat was Ben Roethlisberger in week 2.
I didn't see a lot of reason to think that they could dominate another team. I'm not saying they haven't played well during stretches. I'm saying this was a complete 60 minutes. I'm not talking first 30 minutes against the Chargers. I'm not talking first 30 minutes against Seattle. I'm talking of from the moment the coin toss until you left your parking lot, the Chiefs defense dominated a playoff opponent. They shut down Andrew Luck, who was probably going to finish second in MVP. They eliminated the Colts' running game, and the Colts are one of the 5 best running teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if the Chiefs' defense was capable of eliminating what another team wanted to do really well offensively and them taking the pain to you. We see the Chiefs' offense do it all the time. We see the Chiefs' offense say, we don't care if you're Baltimore. We don't care if you're Seattle.
Yeah, we're going to light you up.
We are going to score 30 points on you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I saw a Chiefs defense that said, we are going to rush the passer. We are going to slow down the run. We are going to punch you in the mouth. We are going to be more physical. So, again, I'm not sitting here saying that now we're looking at the best defense in the NFL. I think you're looking at a defense now that you can have hope for, that you now know. It's no, I don't have to find some stat against Denver or Arizona from early in the season. I can point to say, I just saw this team against one of the hottest teams in the NFL, against a team that certainly on paper looked to give them a lot of matchups. And look more than capable. That's how we should evaluate this defense going forward, in my mind.
Yeah, and the Protein House, See With The Purpose text line, defense in week 16 looked pretty darn good, too. I think he means week 17, but I get what you're saying. He's talking against the Raiders.
I'm not counting against the Raiders.
That's the point that I'm going to make, too. Yeah, I'm sorry. Beating the sorry-ass Raiders 35-3, that didn't do it for me. That doesn't do it. They did it against a good team with your season on the line. Okay, now you got my attention. Now you went out there and you took care of business against a good team in the playoffs that had been playing really, really well. Now you have my attention. So let's see if you can do it again. You know, if you can do it against the Patriots and Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, who just went absolutely crazy against the Chargers, who I think we both agree has a better defense than the Chiefs. So you got Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, Hogan, potentially Gronk, if they're going to go to him 2, 3, 4 times a game. Let's see what you can do against that one. you know, with your season on the line in the AFC title game. As far as I'm concerned, the rest of this is gravy for me. I've said from the beginning that if the Chiefs got to the AFC title game, this season is a win. With a defense that was ranked 31st in the league, first year with Mahomes at quarterback, you get to the AFC title game, total win. Total win, right? So the rest to me is gravy. I want the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. I think they can beat the Patriots. Vegas thinks they can beat the Patriots. But right now, what they did yesterday showed me a lot. Or Saturday, excuse me.
I mean, the Chiefs, I thought, played elite-level defense for the first probably 50 minutes of the game. And much of when the Colts got yards, I thought, was in garbage time. I mean, I want to read to you guys really quickly, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in a national cash contest coming up. This was the first half drives for the Patriots. Or, excuse me, the Colts. 3 plays, 7 yards. 3 plays, 0 yards. 3 plays, 5 yards. 3 plays, 9 yards. Then they gave up the block punt touchdown. Nothing to do with the defense. And then, we agree, end of the first half, garbage time. 8 plays, 70 yards.
Yeah.
When the Chiefs were clearly playing prevent in that scenario.
Yeah.
They were clearly playing, we're happy to give you 3. We will not give you 7 kind of defense. Man, you can't ask this defense to play much better than what they played in this scenario, and every single Chiefs fan would have took this, and that should give you the confidence going up against a 40-year-old quarterback that if you can make that team one-dimensional, you can certainly exploit that Patriots team. Now with no Rob Gronkowski, I know he's playing, but Rob Gronkowski, I don't know what he is right now.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, I don't know where he is right now. Like, you can take advantage of this Patriots offense.
And they did it without Eric Berry, too. Let's just say that, all right? We're not going to get into a huge Eric Berry thing, but
I'm not talking about him at all.
He was supposed to be the savior of the defense, and they went out there and they shut the Colts down with no EB.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. I have a theory about the Chiefs defense, and I think that the loss to the Los Angeles Chargers ended up being a positive for the Chiefs. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive. We'll get back into Chiefs and Colts here momentarily, but I got to give you a chance to win a prize. All you got to do is text the word in cone. C-O-N-E, cone, to 72881. That's cone. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both. Weekdays from 7 to 7 p. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Text the word cone, C-O-N-E, to 72881. Coming up in just a bit, Nick the Quick Price has put together a montage of some of Fanning's worries from last week.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
When he was very fearful of the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get to that.
We were boys, but
it didn't take
not.
That long. I'd spent like maybe 3 minutes looking through stuff. It was basically the entirety of all of the episodes.
I was a train wreck last week. I admit it. I fully admit it.
It wasn't really hard to find those things.
I was worried about that game.
So I want to tell you guys my theory about the Chiefs defense, and then we'll talk about how the loss against the Chargers, I think, ended up being a net positive for the Chiefs. I looked this up today because I was very curious. The Chiefs led the NFL in penalties, as you know, but they were first in the NFL at defensive holding. They had 16 defensive holding penalties. 16. Automatic first down every time you do it. They then had 15 defensive pass interference penalties. That's 31. I'm no mathematician, but that's almost 2 a game of automatic first downs by you simply grabbing the other guy. We know what was happening throughout the course of the season. That I think, my theory is, the playoffs are a positive for the Chiefs defense, and they played really well on Saturday. Part of the reason why is, the rules and the officiating allow you to be more physical, and the player and the officials want to let the players decide it on the field way more than they do during the regular season. I remember there was a play. I can't remember who he was defending, but Jordan Lucas, I think if that's week 5, week 6, they call pass interference. Has his back turned, ball hit him, I think they call those pass interferences on him.
I think Charvarius Ward probably maybe with that first or second drive too, that might have been called in the regular season.
That I think it's not just the Chiefs. I think it's what we've seen is, think about so far what we've seen in the 8 playoff games. Last week and this week, we haven't had any national conversations about instant replay. We haven't had any national conversations about officiating. You guys watch enough NFL football to know we have those talks every single week in the NFL. We're always talking about pass interference. We're always talking about instant replay. We're always talking about defensive holding. Think about the game against the Chargers, where I thought Daniel Sorensen breathed on Antonio Gates and they gave him an automatic first down. I think we see that in the playoffs, they're letting the players decide the outcome of these games. They're not calling it as strict. They're not calling it as tight. And for a physical man-to-man coverage kind of team, what Kansas City is, that plays right into their strength.
I agree. I mean, I'm looking right now, over the course of the season, the Chiefs were the most heavily penalized team of the league. They had 169 flags thrown on them this year. If you break that up over 16 games, that's almost 11 penalties a game. Five Saturday against the Colts. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You know, I've got a guy that's got a pretty high connection in the officiating world with the NFL. And the deal is basically this. Over the course of the regular season, every official is graded per game. And the league tells those officials, here's what we want you to call. Here's what we want you to look at. And officials get to the point where they're afraid not to throw a flag. So what's the difference in the postseason, you ask? Pretty simple. Officials aren't graded in the postseason. They can keep the hanky in their pocket. They don't have to worry about not throwing it because the league told them to throw it this week or that week. I mean, if you look at the way the league was officiated over the course of the year, Clay Matthews roughing the passer on Kirk Cousins, back-to-back, or he did it in back-to-back weeks, cost him a tie in the game against the Vikings. You don't see that call anymore. When a guy tackles the quarterback and then kind of falls on him, that's not roughing the passer anymore.
I want to answer these texts really quickly on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Playoff clue: playoff generally equals better crews. Do you guys not think it's because they have a better officiating crew as well? Didn't they have a better officiating crew in the game against the Rams?
Yeah, that was an all-star crew as well. But again,
that game wasn't called very well. I don't think it was.
And again, that was a regular season. That might have been an all-star crew, but it was in the regular season, which means they're told what to call. Here's what we're focusing on this week, okay? In the playoffs, they're not graded. Officials are not graded by the league. That way, they're not afraid to not throw the flag. If they see anything that looks remotely like a penalty that the league tells them to call, they have to throw it or it'll be a grade against them. That's not the case in the postseason. It's why you see penalties go down. Andy Reid even talked about it a little bit after the game. Somebody asked about the officiating. He said, well, on average in the regular season, it's about 16 a game. In the postseason, it drops to 12. So, yeah, there's a reason. It's frustrating to me because I don't understand why games aren't called the same the entire time. Like, that's the part that I don't understand about it. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty, throw the flag. If it's not a penalty, don't throw the flag. But now you're telling officials in certain games, in certain weeks, hey, we want to focus on this. All right, so what are you focusing on? Pass interference this week? So now you're going to throw more flags on that? You're looking at roughing the quarterback this week? You're looking at helmet-to-helmet that week? Because I think if you look over the course of the league, the calls have changed. I mean, you hit a quarterback and you fall on him in week one and week two, that's 15 yards and a first down. Now it's not. So it's frustrating to me. But the good news is, I think the way the games are going to be called in the playoffs and the way they are being called in the playoffs actually benefits the Chiefs. Because, again, they are the most penalized team in the NFL. 169 flags in the season. Averages out to a little under 11 penalties a game. They had five on Saturday.
I want to, I guess I'll read this text really quickly and we'll move on. Text line 69306, how much of it do you think has to do with no Orlando Scandrick and Rob Parker?
I think it has something to do. Absolutely,
I think
it does.
This is one thing I've noticed too. I think that the loss against the Los Angeles Chargers ended up being a net positive for the Chiefs. That I know it changed your feeling defensively about the Kansas City Chiefs. But if we go back in hindsight, mm-hmm. it ended up being a really good thing for them for this reason. Orlando Scandrick and Ron Parker were getting a lot of snaps before that. Charvarius Ward and Tremont Smith were not getting a lot of snaps before that. Before the game against the Los Angeles Chargers, so heading into the game against the Seattle Seahawks, heading into the game against the Oakland Raiders, Charvarius Ward had played 10 defensive snaps. He was a non-factor on this team. 10 mm-hmm. defensive snaps. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were consistently making him inactive. Tremont Smith was just on kick return. He was not a member of this defense.
Yeah, special team guy.
That I don't know what happened over those 10 days. Andy Reid, Bob Sutton, somebody had a conversation and said, we got to try something different. We tried this Ron Parker experiment. We tried this Orlando Scandrick experiment. It's it. It's over. Orlando Scandrick only played 8% of the snaps on defense this week. 8%.
Yeah.
Orlando Scandrick, the same way that Charvarius Ward was not a part of this defense, neither is Orlando Scandrick right now. Mm-hmm. That makes me ask the question, why didn't you try this sooner? Like, Charvarius Ward appears to be a better cornerback than Orlando Scandrick. Jordan Lucas appears to be a better safety than Ron Parker. I understand that you want to, you know, stand by your veterans and you don't want to pull them pretty quickly. But, man, I felt like we had a lot of examples to tell you that Orlando Scandrick thing wasn't working out.
Yeah.
He got cut 2 times in 3 months in the NFL. We had a lot of reason to believe that Orlando Scandrick was washed.
And busted a coverage on the two-point conversion against the Chargers.
That play, yeah, that maybe was the height of your pulling your hair out, and Chiefs fans were saying, same old Chiefs, ended up being the best thing that could have happened to the Chiefs. I don't know. This is just my opinion. I don't think if they get that stop on fourth down, I don't think if they defend that two-point conversion, I don't think Charvarius Ward is in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tremont Smith is in the game.
I think that's fair.
I think they keep doing the same thing they were doing the entire season. There's no reason to think that they were going to start putting Charvarius Ward in the game at week 15 of the NFL season. They hadn't been doing it all year. I think if we look back, the loss against the Los Angeles Chargers ended up being a net positive for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think you have to give Andy Reid and Bob Sutton credit for this, because remember the collective eye roll in Chiefs Kingdom after the Seahawks game when Andy Reid says we wanted to get a look at some of the young guys, and we're like, seriously? You're trying to beat the Seahawks, lock up the number one seed, and you're telling me you want to look at young guys right now in the secondary? And we're like, what are we doing here? But you're right. It worked. They were right. We were wrong. Charvarius Ward, Tremont Smith, and Jordan Lucas are better defensive football players than Ron Parker and Orlando Scandrick. So the move worked. And maybe you're right, CDOT. If they win that game, maybe it's all the same. You know. And then if that's the case, I think there's a decent chance that they don't beat the Colts.
I just don't know why. I could be wrong. I just don't know what incentive they have to change if they win that game.
Yeah, you're right.
I think letting Rivers go down the field the way that he did and score was bad. I think the two-point conversion, where clearly your veteran players were not on the same page, that Mike Williams was completely wide open, I think that sent a message of, we cannot continue to do this. We have to do a very different defensive thing. Last point, and we'll get out of here, is with Brett Veach. I remember in the offseason when they were doing all those draft picks, he was mm-hmm. talking about getting younger and faster. And then I'm seeing Charvarius Ward, who you traded for right before the season, inactive. Tremont Smith not getting opportunities. You can't be younger and faster with Ron Parker and Orlando Scandrick. This defense, to me, is the one they envisioned at the beginning of the season. Back when they were spending all those free agent dollars on Anthony Hitchens, back when they were spending their first six draft picks on defense, this is the defense they imagined. Mm-hmm. Think about their secondary right now. Kendall Fuller, 23 years old. Charvarius Ward, 23 years old. Tremont Smith, 22 years old. This could be your cornerback group for the next 5 to 6 years. I don't know what happens. Maybe one of those guys turns into Marcus Cooper. But you at least can say right now you got hope and optimism for the future of this defense.
Yeah, totally. And every now and then you get a little bit lucky, and it appears like the Chiefs maybe did with Charvarius Ward, and at least initially weren't exactly sure with what they had. I'll take it, though.
Coming up in just a minute, you guys might remember last week Fanning was treating Marlon Mack like he was Eric Dickerson. Like he was treating him like he was Emmitt Smith. Nick has put together the best of Fanning from last week, and we're going to read some of the tweets that Fanning got. And some of you were very mean to my guy, BF. We put a bow on this thing. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
We got a lot to get into with not a whole lot of time. We got to talk about the New England Patriots playing the woe is me, nobody believes in us card. It's not just Brady doing it. It's all of them, which is amazing. But let's handle local matters first. Last week, many of you
we got to go there.
We're very upset.
That's what we're doing.
I'm all for accountability on this show.
Okay,
we got to hold the teams accountable. We got to hold ourselves accountable. You guys remember last week, Brad Fanning? I remember a couple weeks ago when I was sick, listening. Fanning was saying, "I want the Colts. Bring on the Colts." And then when he got the Colts, he wanted no part of them. Last week, he was telling you all the things he was worried about. Andrew Luck was Johnny Unitas. Marlon Mack was Eric Dickerson. That offensive line was the 1995 Dallas Cowboys. Frank Wright, he was the best first-year coach since Jimmy Johnson. I mean, you should have been terrified of the Indianapolis Colts. Don't let me tell you. Let's let Brad Fanning tell you.
I am fearful of this deal. You got the 31st ranked defense in the NFL against a team that can run the football with Marlon Mack, who looked like freaking Eric Dickerson. I'm like, he's going to run for 250 on the Chiefs. And I do trust Sutton in the defense to go lose it. I think the Colts are going to be able to move the football on the Chiefs because everybody moves the football on the Chiefs, and they're going to be able to score against the Chiefs because everybody but the Raiders scores against the Chiefs.
So that was you last week. I just want to know, are you willing to apologize to the listeners? Are you willing to admit, you know what? I was a little bit wrong. I shouldn't have been as fearful of the Indianapolis Colts as I portrayed last week. The floor is yours.
I'll say this. I think the Marlon Mack, that line may have been a little bit over the top. I would agree with
you
that.
You said that he would run for 250. He didn't run for 50.
No, he didn't.
He ran for 49 yards in the game.
But truthfully, I mean, nobody expected the Chiefs defense to go out there and do that. I mean, we agree on that, right?
I'm not on that. I 100%. I never wavered.
You were completely on board with them going three and out for the first four drives against Andrew Luck and the MVP candidate quarterback.
Text line ain't on me. They're on you. Yeah. Don't put that on me. I'm not in that with
you. I did not see the Chiefs defense going out there and do that. No, absolutely not. So for that, I'm not apologizing. For saying that Marlon Mack looked like Eric Dickerson, that was a little bit over the top. I'll own that one.
Okay. So as you would expect after last week, if you were listening, many of you were not happy with Brad Fanning. After the Chiefs dominated the Indianapolis Colts, who I told you play UCF schedule and were lucky to get into the playoffs, many of them took to Twitter and social media to denounce one Brad Fanning. You know what this smells like? This smells like mean tweets.
This is from some guy named Tommy Riordan, at Tommy Riordan 13. Fanning, you were so negative all week, almost unlistenable. And now you believe. 3 question marks, 3 exclamation points. Come on now. Oh, there's more, Scott. There's a lot more. This is from Stone Cold Mahomes Jones, NFL killer. At So You What? Fanning was annoying. That's not very nice either, is it, Cita? Oh, there's more of these.
I mean, he could have been saying that about anything. It doesn't have to just be the Chiefs. He could have been saying you're annoying about being a KU fan. He could have said you're annoying for being a KU fan and a Nebraska football fan.
Yeah, like, it could have been a lot of
He could have said you're annoying for not liking Chinese food. I mean, it could have went in so many different It could have said you're annoying for thinking that Semi-Pro is the best Will Ferrell movie. It could have went in so many different directions.
Man, Cita, you're bringing the heat today.
I'm just saying it could have been different directions. I don't know what he means.
Is this because all the Dayquil and the nasal spray that you're on right now? You a little bit angry today?
I'm pushing, man. I'm pushing forward every day.
This is from at 71 J Rob. Shut up. Word that rhymes with itch. That's after I tweeted that some jerk in the upper deck just launched a snowball and hit a cheerleader in the face.
Somebody probably tried to hit you with a snowball this week. Probably tried to attack you with a snowball.
Yeah, not very nice, right? And then here's the mother of all of them. From at Pigskin and Petties, the football chick on Twitter. She made one of those big screens, you know, like a big red screen like you see on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wrote in big white letters, a special blank you to 610 Sports Radio's Brad Fanning and his New Balance sneakers. Some guy called me a little midget, too. I can't find that tweet anymore, though. She said I was wearing New Balance. I got Skechers on, man. I mean, that crossed the line.
Which are New Balance's cousins.
These things are... Tony Romo, Howie Long, man. Kim Kardashian. All endorsed Skechers.
And that is Brad Fanning. Mean tweets. Before we get out of here, I want to tell you guys about an underdog story. Many of you guys have heard of this story. It's about the greatest dynasty in the history of professional sports. Listen to what Tom Brady had to say to Tracy Wolfson after the AFC divisional round game as the New England Patriots defeated the Los Angeles Chargers.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Even Tracy Wolfson was like, ha, ha, how dare you say something like that? You're the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. You guys have played in 8 straight AFC championship games. You were favored in Vegas. And then the Patriots social media account, listen to this, Fanning. They put together another Nobody Believes in Us montage. I had Nick just cut the player. This is what another player of the New England Patriots was spreading or propaganda amongst themselves.
So we were going to prepare and be ready to go, whether you pick us or you don't pick us. We see it. You know, we see, you know, our quarterback's too old. We're not good enough on defense.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
So then they spliced up different media cuts from the same two people. This is what I don't like. Everybody is not first take. Yes, Max Kellerman did not believe in you. Stephen A. Smith, like, these organizations, Tom Brady's ability to take the woe is me, I'm the underdog. I can't wait
the,
until.
The coach, the underdog? Is
like,
that right?
I can't wait until Kevin Durant says this in June. I mean, nobody believed that me, Steph Curry, DeMarcus Cousins, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green could overcome our problems in the early part of the season to win the NBA championship. Get Tom Brady the hell out of here with that foolishness.
I know. He's not the underdog, man, but he's going to sell it that way, and media's going to bite. I'm not biting.
Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we'll be giving away a Chiefs Kingdom t-shirt. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we'll give you another chance to win a Chiefs bobblehead doll. Thank you so much for listening. It is full speed ahead, Chiefs and Patriots, for the AFC Championship. The winner goes to the Super Bowl right here in Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening today. It is The Drive.